In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Louis the King. He is the principal patron of the Third Order of St. Francis of Assisi. So it is an important feast, an important celebration for us today. King Louis ascended the throne when he was just a little boy. His mother actually had to reign in his stead until he came of age to take over the reign of his kingdom. But it is related that he was a just king, that he was a God-fearing king. He ruled over his kingdom not as a tyrant or as we imagine so many kings, abusing their wealth, abusing their authority, their position, taking advantage of those whom they rule or govern. King Louis was just the opposite of this, for he considered himself as a father to the kingdom. These members of his kingdom were his children. And I ask, what does every good father desire for his children, if not that they be good, that they succeed? Not only in this world, but most importantly, a good father hopes that his children will gain eternal salvation, that they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And his whole purpose in life is to lead these souls to Christ. And this is, I think, what St. Louis took to heart for his kingdom. All those in his kingdom, even those many years older than him, were entrusted to King Louis by God to guide, to rule, and lead them into eternal happiness of heaven. And King Louis took this obligation very seriously. And the best way to lead, the best way to rule, the best way to govern is very clear. It is by example. You want your children to be virtuous. I tell you, the first thing you must do is become virtuous yourself. There's a principle in philosophy that says you cannot give what you do not have. You want to give your children success, you must be successful. You want to give your children eternal life, you must possess eternal life first. You want your children not to smoke cigarettes? It's easy. Don't smoke cigarettes. You want your children not to drink and become an alcoholic? It's easy. Don't do that yourself. Your children are going to follow your example, not your words. Your words mean nothing unless they're backed up by the example that you give. And so we look to King Louis and we see his love for his children, his love for his people, his love for his kingdom. This king did not hesitate to take off his crown, to set aside his royal garments, and to wash the wounds of lepers. He did not hesitate to feed the poor with his own hands, to care for those in hospitals that he established. These were not strangers to him, but they were his dear children, entrusted to him by God. A king could very easily have washed his hands from it and said, suggested someone else care for them. This is beneath me, but not King Louis. King Louis was a true father, and therefore I say a true king, a role model for all who have any authority whatsoever. We must consider the authority that we have as an entrusting gift from God. authority is not given to me for my own benefit. Parenthood is not given to the mother and father for the benefit of the mother and father. The blessing of parenthood has been given to many for the benefit of the children, not the parents. They are there for the good of these children. These children who have come into this world helpless. They can't do a thing for themselves. And even if they could, they wouldn't know what to do. And so God has given an authority over them to protect them, to shelter them, to clothe them, to feed them, to watch over them, to educate them. It is almost as if I should say the orders are reversed. For the parent is there as the servant, though he has authority to command the child. A king has authority to command all his subjects, but when he is a God-fearing king, as St. Louis was, he sees that his power of authority is there to serve, to minister to, in the kingdom, all his subjects. The authority of parents is exactly that. It is to serve the children. It is to benefit the children. And when I say to serve the children, I don't mean to suggest that children should have authority over their parents or that parents should be subservient to their children. For that would be an inversion of the authority that God has given. But I ask you to do as King Louis did and look to Christ. Here is God, all powerful. We are all his subjects. We are all his children. He has authority over us all. But he came to this world not to seek his own will. With all his power, with all his authority, he did not come to do his own will. He did not come to be served. But he came to serve. Christ lived his life here on earth. He gave his life here on earth for his children. And I suggest that as a servant, he did not renounce his authority, for he spoke and taught the children with authority. Christ said, "This is what you must do. This is how you must live." Christ did not hesitate to correct. Christ did not hesitate to punish. But he always did so with a loving heart. He always did so not for his own advantage, but truly for the advantage of those whom he corrected. Those whom he disciplined, those whom he admonished, he always did so with a loving heart. King Louis ruled as a king. He was forced to make rules, to make laws. He was forced to enforce those laws, those rules, those regulations. But he did all of this out of love for his subjects. Parents, you are all given that authority by God. It is your duty to make rules. It is your duty to set boundaries and to enforce them. It is your duty to admonish. And yes, it is your duty at times to punish, to correct. And you will have to give an account to God for all of that. Having gone over too far and abused it for your own personal advantage at the expense of your children, or for not having gone far enough and allowing your children to fall off on the deep end because you were not there to stop them. You were not there to admonish them. You were not there to correct them. I find that people very often are not much different than animals. If you have an animal you want to train, you have to set boundaries. You have to set limits. You have to be able to say, you can go this far and no farther. If you cross this line, there will be consequences. I will have to punish you if you cross this line. And we have to have enough intestinal fortitude to say, yes, I don't want to punish you, but you have broken the rule, and now you must be punished. You must learn that there are consequences to your actions. A good and faithful father will inflict the punishments. You've gone too far. And you see, the child will rise up at that moment and say, I hate you. I don't love you. Don't you love me? How can you do this to me? Poor, pitiful me. And they lay this guilt trip, or try to lay this guilt trip upon their parents. But later, they will stop and realize that it is a loving father who has inflicted punishment. It is a loving father who has set the bounds. And it is a loving father that gives them a sense of security. If I let chickens run free, they don't stay in my yard. They go into the neighbor's yard, they get into trouble, they get into the street. And if they don't cause an accident, they end up dead. Right, Brother Pascal? But if I really care for the chickens, if I don't care for them, I can let them run free. No big deal. Let the neighbor's dog get them. The fox, the cat, the hawk, whatever. The raccoons. If I don't care for them, I don't have to set any boundaries. I don't have to set any limits. But if I really want to take care of these animals, I have to put up a fence. I have to restrict their freedom. And of course, because animals don't like to stay in a fence, I have to electrify the fence so that they have a consequence. With a nice electric fence, they touch the fence a few times and they soon learn. Ah, here is a boundary I can't cross. And I must stay within this boundary. This is my home. This is where I am safe. This is where I am secure. Not only does it keep the animal in, but it keeps many of the predators out. I say people are like animals very often. I know they're higher than animals, that they've given an immortal soul, that they have an intellect. But often we act like animals. And I say, if you want your children to be happy, they must feel secure. They must feel safe. How do I establish this home of security, this home of safety? if not by putting up an electric fence. Okay, here is the fence. It may not be a physical barrier, but it is a barrier nonetheless. It doesn't have to be an electric shock, but there has to be some repercussion, some boundary. If you cross this line, here is what will happen to you. This is not done out of hatred for the child. This is done out of love for the child. And the same goes for every state of society, from the family to the kingdom to the world. When the king loves his country, when he loves his subject, he sets up laws. Here is the law. Here is the boundary. Don't cross it. If you cross it, here are the consequences. You will be caught. You will be imprisoned. You will pay whatever is demanded by the law for whatever infraction of the law you have broken or made. Not because they enjoy inflicting punishment, but because it is their duty. It is what every loving father should do. And granted, it's not a perfect system. I come across so many people who will complain about our prison systems. They will complain about disciplining children. We want to tie the hands of those who have to raise children. And we have raised a generation of defiant children who will boldly stand up to their parents and say, "You can't punish me. You can't touch me." They will stand up to their teachers and say, "You can't touch me. You can't do anything to me. I can do whatever I want." This boldness, this insolence is demonic. And it is being fostered by an evil society. If we truly love, we must discipline. We must correct. There must be consequences. It doesn't have to be an electric fence. It doesn't have to be a paddle. But there has to be some consequence. And if we say there are no consequences to your action, if we say you're free to go, do whatever you want, we lift all the barriers. What happens to our kingdom? What happens to our society? What happens to our families? It's like setting a flock of chickens free. Go wherever you want. Do whatever you want. Pretty soon, there won't be any left. They will be destroyed. The devil will take them off, one by one or all in mass. I say that those who try to raise children in this fashion do not love. They are not true parents. They are afraid of their children. They don't care about their children. Go, get out. A young man once came to me. "Oh, you see, my friends, they have computers in their own bedrooms. They have their own TV with cable television in their own bedroom. My mother and father won't let me have that. It's not fair. Everybody else has it." You heard that before? You've used it before? "But everybody else is doing it. Everybody else has it. Why can't I?" And I said to this young man, You should go home and thank your mother and father. What do you mean? You should thank them because they love you. I don't understand. Let me see if I can explain it to you. Your friend that has its own computer in his room, that has his own TV with his own cable, he can watch cable television 24/7. Why do you think his parents gave him all these things and put them in his room? Because they love him? I said, nonsense. Where does your friend spend all his free time? In his room. Away from mom and dad. Mom and dad don't have to deal with him anymore. They don't have to punish him and say, go to your room. Mom and dad don't even have to look at his ugly face. They don't have to speak to him. They don't have to look at him. They don't have to deal with him. This is the least expensive way they could figure to get rid of him. Now, your parents, who will not give you all these things to keep you in your room, have to deal with your smart aleck remarks, your insubordination. They put up with you. They deal with you. Why? It would be so much cheaper, so much easier just to give you whatever you want and say, go to your room. Get out of my face. They don't do that because they love you. Rather than feel that we have been cheated or slighted because we don't have what someone else has, we should consider that we are more loved than they are. We are more blessed than they are. And I'll leave you with one simple thought. The scripture tells us that God chastises those whom he loves. God corrects those whom he loves. He does not spare the rod with those whom he loves. Those who are spared the rod of God in this life, those whom the Heavenly Father does not give a cross, does not correct, I should not say God doesn't love, but I will say that he will punish them eternally. And we should welcome the crosses. We should welcome the difficulties. We should welcome the corrections of our society, our government, of our parents, but most of all, the corrections of God. For those corrections that we see as punishments and being so terrible are the gentle hands of a loving Father. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.